book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter number 3. If you enjoyed this singing tonight, say amen. I appreciate these folks stopping by and touching our hearts again before we get home. I'm glad I got a home to go to tonight. Until I get there, I'm glad I got a good church to go to. We're just strangers and pilgrims on a journey down here. And I'm glad this is not my home. Don't be driving no tent stakes too deep down here, friend. Because we are a pilgrim and stranger on a journey. In Daniel chapter number 3, Nebuchadnezzar, man, his name is so long, it was big as his head. Nearly took up a whole sentence in my King James Bible. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, notice the Holy Ghost is big on capitalization. Now, I will remind you, there's a lot of Nebuchadnezzars in our life, but they are the little king. Thank God. I know the big king tonight. He said he made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth was 6. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He was the Babylon big shot. Nebuchadnezzar the king, he sent together all his little hirelings, the princes and the governors and the captains and judges and treasurers and the counselors, and Lord, even got the sheriff involved. Remind me of a Sunday night voting in a Baptist church. The sheriff got involved. And all the rulers of the provinces had come to the dedication of Nebuchadnezzar the king. And then, verse 4, a herald cried aloud, "To you it's commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sack, but psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music." Sound like a drama team trying to get started. See, all kinds of music, what's going on in these contemporary churches. So you fall down, worship the golden image, the Nebuchadnezzar the king. Matter of fact, that kind of music right there won't never lift you up. It just always mash you down. Yeah, y'all look like you need some preaching up in here tonight. You say, "Well, I got saved." Y'all let your face know. Now we telling everybody to come to the party. So, verse 7, at that time, when the people heard the sound, they all fell down and worshiped that little image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. At that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake, said to the king, "Now, king, and you made a decree that when all this music goes on," verse 11, "whoso falleth not down and worship, he should be cast in the midst of a burning fire furnace." He said, "I want you to know, they some boys, you set over the affairs of the province, and we know them by name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they've not regarded you, and they're not serving your gods, and they're not worshiping your golden image that you set up." Verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar in his raging fury commanded the Hebrew children that they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said these words, "Is it true? I just want to know, have I heard it right?" Said that, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods nor worship the golden image that I've set up?" He said, "I want to be sure you've heard the news. When you hear this sound of all this different kind of instruments," said, "I want you to bow down and worship." And by the way, in verse 15, I'm going to preach out of tonight. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You can be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Lamb of glory, your darling Son. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the grace of God that passes all understanding. Help us now as we preach just a little while tonight. In Jesus' name we pray and ask you. Amen. and amen. Well, you'll notice in verse number 15, there the king asked this question. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? I want to say, first of all, that's an important question. It does you good to know who our God is tonight. But it's also kind of an ignorant question. You know, who don't know the God of this Bible? There are no atheists, as the old timer said, friend. There are no atheists on the battlefield, just walking where we work and play. But I'm going to tell you this evening, it is an inquisitive question, and I'd like to answer that with the Bible on who is that God. First of all, you'll notice in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, well, I want to tell you something. We're not careful to answer then this matter. Said, we ain't even got to think about it long. We're going to tell you what we think. I like preachers that way. I never like to come to church and leave and say, what did that preacher say? So he said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able. And the devil would have you to forget that your God is able. Now, I want to say this tonight. First of all, who is this God? He's a God that is above. Now, you'll notice that if it be so, our capital God. Look, if you would, tonight in verse number 14, and you'll notice that Nebuchadnezzar in verse 14 said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my little g-gods? I'm glad that our God is a God above all gods. I want to say in Isaiah chapter number 6, you'll see Isaiah found out that he sits above. There's nobody on his level. There's some of you tonight, if we got into in a game, and maybe in a knowledge or a game of spelling or arithmetic, some of you would set above others. But honey, let me tell you, there's no God. Oh, there's no God that sets above our God tonight. For he sets high and holy upon his throne. And I'm glad I've got a God that sets above all other gods. Not only a God that sets above, but I'm glad I've got a God that sees above. If he's setting above, it means he's got a pretty good view. And he knows what me and you are doing in our lives. And he knows what's under the cover. He knows what's in the closets. He knows what's under the car seat. Our all-seeing eye of God knows everything that's going on. And Washington's not took him by surprise tonight. Boy, he is a God that's above. He sits above and he sees above. I like what the Bible says over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 11 this evening. There, the psalmist David was writing in the book of Psalms, chapter number 11 and verse 4. And this is what he said on the God that sees above. He said, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, and his eyes behold, and his eyelids try the children of men. Young people, God sees everything we're doing. Older people, God sees everything we're doing. We better watch what we're doing, because I'm going to tell you, the preacher ain't a-looking. There's a God that's a-looking. And so certainly we see that he sees above. In Proverbs, turn over in the right-hand side, there, that chapter in Proverbs 5 and 21. He's a God that sees above. Proverbs 5, verse 21. You ever seen this? The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. That word pondereth means that he meditates upon what we're doing. We've got a God tonight that's interested in what we're doing. He sees above. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3 this evening. There the Bible says this, the eyes of the Lord, what's this, are in every place. Well, I'm going to go behind the barn and smoke. He'll see you before you light it up. When I was a young and I hid my chewing tobacco in a stump, come a big rain, brother, around that thing swole up like a bale of hay, amen. Mom and Daddy couldn't see, but God, Brother Jake, could see right up in that stump. What are you saying tonight, preacher? Who is that God? He's a God above. He sits above and He sees above. Proverbs 15, verse number 3. The eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I'd ask you this. Do you think America's going to do what America's doing and get away with it? No. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, I'm going to tell you, America thinks it's getting by, but God's seeing everything that's going on. And so we have a God that is above. Who is that God? Well, they have asked you, who is your God? Say, He's a God that's above. He sits above. He sees above. And I will say lastly about that little point. He speaks above. He has a voice like no other voice. And in Psalms chapter number 62, turn over to the left. Psalms 62, verse number 11. You ever seen this verse in your Bible? He says this, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. You see, in the beginning, God spoke it into existence. He didn't have to tell it twice. I'm glad we've got a God. He may be a God a few words, but He means what He says. I'm glad I found in this Bible where He said that He loves us. No matter what, He loves us tonight. And certainly He's a God that's above. Now He sits above, sees above, but He speaks above. In Isaiah 40 and verse number 12, look here in the Bible. Isaiah, turn to the right in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter number 40. Look here what the old Isaiah, the old prophet, man of God had to say in Isaiah 40 and verse number 12. About the God that speaks above. He said in Isaiah 40 and verse number 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Who hath meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord or being His counselor hath taught Him? There's a lot of folks in Washington tonight think they're teaching our God something. But it'd do them good to get back on their face and listen to see what our God's teaching out of this book. With whom took He counsel and who instructed Him? Taught Him in the path of judgment, taught Him in knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust to the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Who is that God? He's a God that is above. And then secondly, He is a God, you'll see, that is able. I'm glad we got a God that's able tonight. Notice what He said, verse 17. They responded back to the king, and it'll do you good to underline this and always remember this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. He's not lacking in no department. He's got it all together tonight. We've got a God that's able. I won't say there's not a person He can't save. I'm glad He died for all, folks. And if any preacher comes by and tells you He just died for a certain few, he's not preaching out of a King James Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad it's a whosoever gospel tonight. Boy, that He is a God that is able. There's not a person He can't save. He saves the unexpected. Did anybody ever really expect to get saved? He slipped up on me. And I'm glad He found me. He saves the unexpected. He saves the unlikely. Who would have thought men like y'all or me would have got saved? He saves the unlikely. I love it when the unlikely gets saved. I love it when God does the unlikely, Brother Tim. I love it when the unlikelies get saved. They come in and sat down where you've been sitting. Don't care if they got your seat or not. They pull out there and get your little Baptist parking spot. Don't care if you like it or not. I love it when He saves the unlikely. Not a person He can't save. You find out He's a God that's able, a person He can't save. Two, there's not a problem He can't solve. The devil a lot of times say, well, Can't get no better. Yeah, it can. But God. God can do anything. And I'm glad He's a God that's able. Because you see, there's not a person He can't save. It ain't a problem He can't solve. There's not a promise in this book He can't supply. I'm glad this book is filled with promises. And I've heard a lot about these promise keepers, these hogwash fraternities. Don't nobody here keep their promise. We want to do good, and I make promises, but I break them more than I keep them. And I know you don't, but I do. I tell my wife, I say, I'm not painting the back of this stinking door right now. I'm going hunting or I'm going fishing, and I'll paint it when I get back. It ain't painted. Some of you nosy folk, come over and paint it for me tomorrow. You that come in folks' house and look behind the doors. Amen. That's just like us joining a club. We can't keep promise keepers. That sounds like a Joel Osteen run outfit to me. Person He can't save. Problem He can't. You listen to me. There's no reason in you getting all messed up out in that world tonight and throwing the towel in on everything. Our God is able. I know we're in a recession, but let me tell you, Washington ain't running heaven. God can do anything tonight. Boy, our God's able. A person He can't save. A problem that He can't solve. A promise He can't supply. I'm glad it ain't a prayer He can't see about. Did you know you can't pray a prayer that He can't see about? The devil would have you not to pray. That's just like the devil. He's a lying... Anybody ever have devil problem? Before I got up, you know what the devil said? And it's always some truth, so it may be true. They said, they don't want to hear you preach tonight. Would you shut up? The devil hates you. And I'm glad he hates me tonight. But I'm telling you what, we've got a God that's able. There's not a prayer He can't see about. You know, if we'd get back to praying, there's no telling what we'd see our God do. I'm glad there's not a prayer He can't see about. And so, thirdly tonight and lastly, who is that God? Well, He's a God that's above. He's above everything and everybody. I've heard this. Well, we can't do that. Is that right? Well, what's God say about your situation? God's above our hurt. He's above our problems. He's above everything that ever happened to me. Because I come to tell you tonight, we're His children. And He sees about His children. Them little grandbabies can basically get anything from their pop that they need tonight. You know why? Because they're mine. And I love them. And I'll fight you for him. Somebody say amen. Man wouldn't fight for his grandbabies. Ain't much a feller in him. You little wimpy henpeck looking something. Who is that God? He's a God that's above. He's a God that's able. But lastly, look what happened. Well, they didn't go to the party. They were on the devil's hit list. They were on the devil's hate list. I wonder, would you be on that list tonight? So the Bible says, verse number 19, Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, his visage changed. You ever noticed anybody that their countenance changed when you didn't do what they wanted you to do? But it went against your Bible, so you stood for what was right. Can I tell you, it's still right to stand right? Young people, it's still right to not go with the crowd and the beat of the drum tonight. We're hearing a lot of different sounds coming from Washington. We're hearing a lot of different music coming from our communities. But we better stand on what we know to do right tonight. And so they wouldn't bow. They would not bend. The Bible said, verse 20, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats and their hose and their hats and other garments that were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The Bible said in verse 22, the commandment was urgent, the flame exceedingly hot. And it slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose and walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Who is that God? He's a God that's above. He's a God that's available. And I want to say that He's a God that's around. You see, the three Hebrew boys was cast in the furnace, and they couldn't see Him. Isn't it amazing when we get in something we can't see Him, but when we get in it, somebody else can see Him in it. And so the three got out. There stood Jesus. I like what Brother Mays Jackson said preaching. He has run a revival one night. He turned to this text of Daniel chapter number 3 and he preached on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. A little boy come up to him and said, Brother Mays, I'd like to ask you something. He said, every preacher I've ever heard has always, always got them boys out of the fire, but has always left Jesus in there. He said, why do you preachers do that? Brother Mays thought a few minutes. He said, son, I'll tell you tomorrow night. He got up and preached it on Tuesday night, and here come that little old boy and his cowlick all mashed up against the side of his head. He said, Brother Mays, I just wondered, have you figured out why all you preachers get them boys out of the fire and leave Jesus in there? And I love what Brother Mays said. He said, yeah, son, because when I walk in there tomorrow, I know He's in there. He's in there for you tonight. I'm glad we've got a God that's around. They said it right. There are times you think you're going down. Nobody else cares. But boy, He's proved Himself to this preacher to be faithful. And there's been a lot of times, Brother Vince, I couldn't see Him in my situation, but somebody else seen Him in it. Maybe that's all that matters, that God gets the honor and the glory out of all of our fiery situation. May God be honored and His Son glorified in our experiences that catch us off guard and that come to us and many times so unexpectedly. May our good God be seen where we've been. And I love Him and I praise Him tonight. Well, I appreciate you being here. Stand with us this evening.